Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 55 for July 19th, 2008, Saving for College. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. And by listeners like you. Thanks for your donations. It's time for Jumping Monkeys. And here she is, ladies and gentlemen, the star of Jumping Monkeys, your very own Megan Maroney.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for getting air conditioning.
It's a big improvement, isn't it?
It is. Is it really loud, though?
Yeah, if you hear a big whooshing sound in the background.
Yeah, that's the air conditioning.
We're just trying to keep from wilting like little flowers.
Like little flowers. Like the little flowers we are.
Yeah, because it's hot.
Mm-hmm. It is.
You moved up here because I told you it didn't get hot here.
Yeah, you did.
I was.
You told me it snowed, and you told me it didn't get hot.
And neither has happened.
Yeah, I saw pictures the year 2001.
It snow, did snow once.
And it hasn't snowed since. Well, today we are going to talk about a topic that you do not want to talk about.
This pains me, this topic.
We're going to talk about saving for college.
Of which I have not done any of.
Yeah, and you don't have much time.
No, because Abby's a high school junior in the fall.
Well, our guest, Jeff Fries of thefreshmanfund.com, hopefully will have some solutions for you, as well as those of you who...
I think if I say, I got 2 years, what should I do? He's going to say, you're screwed.
Yeah. Tutors, 24 hours a day.
Tutors aren't going to help. I need money.
Well, no. If she gets a scholarship.
Oh, maybe if she took up football.
Yeah. But there, you know, I mean, if she gets into the big schools, Harvard, Princeton... they are now offering a lot more financial aid for people in middle and upper classes. You've read that, haven't you?
I did read that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, I don't have the confidence that I would get anything from them.
Right. You're above the middle and upper class? Is that what you're saying?
It's one of those things where I'm in the position where I probably make too much money to get a scholarship, but not enough money to actually pay for college.
Well, that's what they're trying to solve, because so many people are saying
there are a lot of people in that situation.
College is unaffordable, even for rich people like you.
Well, I don't. I guess I'd probably be upper middle class. Do they include upper middle class?
Yeah,
in that?
Upper middle and upper class. They're offering more financial aid.
I think they said that, and I think Yale's doing this too. My alma mater. I think they said that if you get in, we'll make sure you can go.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and I mean,
I know what that means. We'll make sure, you know, we'll give you...
Get a loan.
Yeah, we'll make sure, if you mortgage the house, if you get a second mortgage, you know, in other words...
If you agree to pick which of your children goes to college.
Yeah, if you've got to sacrifice first, is what they're saying.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully Jeff will have some insight.
I'm very interested. This is a good subject. Yeah.
So if you have any comments on the show while you're listening today, give us a call, 707...
Ooh, are we getting the calls?
981-4602. And
when you put that button on your website...
Really? They can... I got an email that the button doesn't work in Firefox, and I should solve that problem. So I've been working on that in the Jumpy Monkeys labs all week, solving that
problem.
Have
you really?
Yeah.
And have you come to any conclusions
in
the labs?
No, it doesn't work in Firefox. That's
the
conclusion that I've come into.
That's the actual the truth.
So spend, save, give.
Good.
Here's what you should spend your money on.
Yes.
Here's what every parent should spend their money, every person should spend their money on.
Please,
Wally.
What? The movie Wall-E?
Have you
loved that?
It?
No. You know what?
It.
Jennifer saw it and she said it was grim and industrial.
It is grim and industrial, but it's...
But what's wrong with that? Is that what you're saying?
It's uplifting.
I don't think she was lifted.
Did she fall asleep at the end?
No.
My kids loved it. They're three
her, well,
and
she,
five.
She brought her mentee. She has a mentee who's in second grade for Mentor Me.
And how did
and
that?
She grader. Loved it. The second grader loved it.
My kids loved it. I don't know if they understood.
Did they understand it? Now, is there any talking in this movie?
There is. There's about 20 minutes of no talking, which is also fascinating.
I thought the whole thing was kind of silent.
No. There's a long stretch.
Wally doesn't talk, does he?
He does not speak English, no.
He speaks R2-D2?
Speaks trash robot. But you would love it with your fascination with the, you know, the Mac.
Well, that's what I thought. I wanted to see it. I thought this is going to be a good movie for me. The Mac is in it?
Well, the girl robot is like kind of modeled after like Apple products. She looks sort of like
because,
iPhone,
of course, in the future, all Apple products, all computer products will look like Apple products.
Plus, she kicks butt.
That's what I like.
She does. Yeah.
Do you must look for that for Annabella. You look for strong female heroines. Yeah.
Yeah. Female characters that are going to blow up the people interested in them, the men interested in them. Yeah. That's what I'm looking
for. I'm never getting married. Take that.
So, I just think this is Pixar's best movie. Yeah.
Really?
I think it's
better than Toy Story. Really?
Better than Toy Story. Mm-hmm.
And I love Toy Story. All right. That's good to know.
Okay. Next, we're going to save this. I'm going to save all new parents on white noise generators. We've talked about white noise and how it's good.
Just buy an air conditioner.
You could buy an air conditioner. Or you could go to simplynoise.com.
Yeah.
Simplynoise.com. Free white noise generator.
Oh, I'm hearing it right now.
Slide it. Yeah.
People probably think something went wrong with the podcast.
No. And you can slide it to whatever range you want.
Is this louder?
It's like, I guess it's louder and also like whiter or pinker. I'm not that sure what the difference between pink noise and white noise is, but.
So that's white noise. You want to hear pink noise?
Yeah, I want to hear pink noise.
This is pink noise. It has to load the pink noise.
Yeah. Babies love this stuff.
Pink noise has more lower stuff in it.
Yeah.
So this is just a website that plays this stuff.
Yeah, because we had a white noise machine and it took batteries. And it stunk because we were like, because we kept it on all night. We had to replace the batteries. It was such a waste.
I like pink noise better. Can I like one or the other? Is there
a
choice?
Yeah, you can like. That says a lot about you.
I like pink noise.
Pink noise. Mm-hmm.
I like
it. And you're not afraid to admit it. I like that about you, Leo Laporte.
I'm comfortable with my pink noiseness. That's interesting. That's kind of neat.
Yeah,
that
I thought
good.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're on to the give.
What is that URL again?
Simplynoise.com.
SimplyNoise.com. Mm-hmm. Cool.
And now the give.
Give.
You're familiar, of course, with Spore.
Yes.
Spore, the newest video game by Will Wright.
Are you excited?
Creator of The Sims. I'm excited.
I think it's going to be a great game.
I think it is going to be a great game. And it's not out yet. I think it comes out in September of this year.
Uh-huh.
But the Spore creator, have you seen the Spore creator where you can create your own Spore?
That was a little source of pain for me, actually.
Oh, it was?
Well, the... Kevin Rose, a few other people that I know got early copies of that.
Mm-hmm.
Not I.
You didn't?
No.
I think you did, and then you just didn't check your email. I can't believe, because what I'm talking
In fact, Kevin went to the PR company.
Oh, and he said, give me
one. And he said, can you give Leo one? And they said, yes, but Leo can't participate in the charity design contest that you're part of.
So maybe we shouldn't talk about this.
No, let's talk about it. I'm still excited about it. And Will Wright, I know Will Wright, and I think this is... We need more games that are not shooting people.
Right.
More games that stimulate creativity and thought. And I think this, I've only seen, a few things about it, but it looks like it's going to be
great.
It
does look really interesting. So, you can make your character come up from amoeba into, the thing past amoeba.
It's a star travel.
Yeah.
That's the thing past amoeba, I believe.
Star travel. From amoeba to star
amoeba
travel.
Amoeba to star travel.
So if you go to SporeVote.com, you can see all these celebrities who are, none of which are as cool, interesting, or successful as my friend Leo here.
But Kevin Rose is one of them.
But yes, Kevin Rose is one of them. And then you can, the winner.
They explained to me that it was a PR company that they were trying to get hip, cool, interesting people. So they got, of course, Stan Lee, he's great.
Yeah.
Melissa Joan Hart.
David Lynch.
Kevin Rose is in there. That's kind of neat.
That's kind of neat.
He actually has more views than Elijah Wood does.
I know. I saw that. So anyway, you can vote
for
your favorite.
I don't know why he's in there.
So, he is?
Yeah, Alex is in there. Richard Branson, that's good. Tay Zonday. Oh, Veronica made it. So
you
click
vote
on
for your favorite spore, your favorite creature, and then the winner gets $15,000 to donate to charity.
In this case, vote for Veronica because she's going to the James Kim Technology Foundation.
Oh.
So this is my vote. You're getting my vote, Veronica. And it's a cute creature.
I would vote for Veronica too. I think it's interesting just to click around and see what these people's favorite charities are. Kevin's is the obvious. Kiva, we're fans of Kiva.
Kiva's
David
good.
Lynch, I noticed, wants to give his $15,000 to the Eagle Scouts of Missoula, Montana.
He is just weird.
I know.
I mean, nothing wrong with Eagle Scouts.
What would they do with $15,000? They'd be psyched. Then he'd make a movie
about
what they did.
Do you think he's from Missoula? That maybe that's...
I don't know. It's interesting, though.
Yeah, look at all these people who are in here, but not me. I guess I'm not hip like Veronica.
There should be a write-in campaign.
That's all right. I'm over it.
Okay. Well, then let's move on.
But it wasn't so much that I wanted to be in it. It was just that I wanted the creature creator. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was cool that the charity. So you vote, and whoever gets the most votes gets the money?
Yeah, gets $15,000 for their charity.
Oh, let's see.
So Spore vote.
Kevin's got 1461, but Elijah Wood has 537. Veronica has 1,098.
The James Kim Memorial Fund goes for technology for kids, right?
Look who's number one, Phil DeFranco.
Who's that?
No idea.
Somebody lobbying hard, probably.
He's a 22-year-old pre-med student.
Is his creature awesome?
So he's just some guy. Oh, he does have a show, the Phil DeFranco show. He's a comedian. Oh, that's cool. His creatures are noisy, but they love each other.
Someone in our chat room at quitlive.tv mentioned that the creature creator is now free to download.
Yeah. In fact, if you go to this page, you can download it.
Right.
So now I'm happy. I don't care.
Okay.
Of course, I didn't get to raise money for charity, but that's okay.
Well,
that's
I'm going to start a write-in campaign at sporevote.com.
It wasn't so much that Kevin was in there. He's a star. There were some other people in there. I thought, well, you know, come on. I have more viewers than them. What are they talking about?
All right, so now we're going to talk to Jeff Fries of FreshmanFund.com. It's a registry for college savings. So what people can do is they can...
We need this.
Go on, donate to, your grandchildren or whoever. And, you know, you as a parent or you as a person saving for college can send people to this website and they can... And I think... I'm not sure if it stays with your own 529 fund, but we'll... find out. We'll ask Jeff. So we're going to get him on Skype. And
are you stalling?
No. Yes. Yes.
You're stalling. I love it. Let's
call Jeff right now. You're stalling while I add Jeff to the Skype list.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very well. Leo Laporte here. Megan Maroney as well.
Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
And I'm desperate because I have a high school junior and I've saved nothing. Am I screwed, Jeff? Is it all over for me?
Yes.
Okay. See, I told you he'd say that. When should I have started?
In utero.
Yeah. Because college is expensive.
It is. And in, 18 years, it's going to cost $250,000 on average.
You're How kidding. Many million dollars?
$250,000.
Oh. A quarter of a lot.
That's a year or that's enough. For 4 years?
That's for 4 years.
Oh, you scared me. But I would actually believe you if you had said $250,000 a year.
I'm sure NYU will be up there about that price.
Is that the most expensive school right now?
It's got it. I mean, what is it now? Like 50 a year?
Yeah. But that's room and board, right? And, and the school.
Right.
But it's still $50,000 a year and drugs, let's not forget books, drugs, all that stuff, the beer, kegs of beer. No. But it's room and board and education, and that's expensive. $50,000 a year. So that's $200,000 right now.
Yeah.
So what do you suggest? What do we do?
Do you just start early and you contribute often and regularly? If you put in $200 a month, every month for 18 years, that'll pay for 60% of the average school.
See, that's what's frustrating. I'm putting away $200 a month for 18 years, and I still only am 60% of the way there. I mean, that's hard. I did once do the calculation, I think when Abby was born, 16 years ago, and it said, if you want Abby to go to, I said, well, I want her to go to a Ivy League school. I said, you need to save, I think it was $1,000 a month now.
Wow.
And I just gave up. So she's going to she'll be going to the local community college and she'll be happy about it, darn it.
Right.
So where should people at this point put away those $200 a month?
In 529s.
Okay, now, that's the hot new thing, right?
It is the hot new thing. It's tax free. All the gains that you earn in that a fund is tax free if you use it for higher education.
Is this what Freshman Fund will help us do?
Yeah, so Freshman Fund allows you to attach your 529, create a public profile, and now you can email friends and family that link to that page saying, hey, instead of plastic toys for Timmy or Susie this year, here's a link you can contribute directly into their college savings.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And that's so, it. It's pretty simple.
So you don't run the funds or anything like that?
We don't run the funds. We don't touch the money. It's the same, you know, Oppenheimers and Legg Masons running the same mutual funds that are behind all the 529s.
So why do we need this? I mean, so I think I have a 529, but I've never looked into whether I... So do these places not offer people emails, addresses to donate? Or like web addresses?
They do not. If you wanted to contribute to my 529 right now, you would need to write me a check. I would need to deposit that check, fill out my own coupon and my own check, and mail it in to the to my 529.
So that's what Freshman Fund, in effect, does. It does all that paperwork for you.
Yes, we handle all the back end.
That's smart.
How'd you get this idea? That's a great idea. Do you work in the business, or do you work in a financial business?
I was a part of a fintech startup during the dot-bomb days.
Oh, boy.
But
oh, boy.
But I was at my niece's birthday party, and she had a pile of gifts about as tall as she was. It was her fourth birthday party. She tore through everything. At the end, there's a pile of junk.
Yep.
My gifts discarded to the side.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, I just blew a lot of time, money, and effort on that. How can I put that in her college savings?
It's a good point. I have a garage full of primary colored plastic that we got over the last 16 years from my daughter. Boy, I'd sure like to have some of that money in a 529 right now.
Right. A Barbie doll today is worth $60.
Unless you never opened it.
Yeah.
And along the same lines, I've gotten gifts, you know, of money from people, from family members saying
right.
This is for their college fund. And I can tell you, I mean, we do donate to their college fund, but probably that check just went right in our bank has already been spent.
Right. This is great.
We actually did some, you know, surveys of users, and what they really liked about it was the transparency, knowing that if I give you money for college, it's going for college.
That's the other side of it, isn't it? As a gift, you can't be directed any other way. This is going to the 529.
Exactly.
So how do you know?
Right, right.
So what kind of security do you have on the site? How do we know you're not going to take our money, Jeff Fries?
Yeah, Jeff Fries. What are you doing with that money, Jeff?
Well, I mean, you know, as far as security, we have all the standard SSL and you know, the regular things where we're separating any financial data from any personal data on separate servers. And as far as me not, you know, running off to the, you know, South America with the money.
Cayman Islands are actually the best place to go.
Thanks.
Yeah, just a little tip.
I don't know. I guess it's the threat of me going to jail.
That would do it, yeah.
Okay.
We're just teasing you. Obviously, we've carefully vetted this site. We've checked it up. We know it's reliable. We know it's safe, and we wouldn't recommend it if it weren't. Freshmanfund.com. And it's a really good idea, .com. I wish it'd been around a few years ago.
Right.
I guess it's not.
And 529s, you know, if they were, I wish they were around, you know, when I was going to school.
Yeah, no kidding.
I graduated with a load of debt.
Right.
That's fun, being 22, having no job, and owing $80,000.
So the 529s are tax-free. You put the money in there. Can they be invested in mutual funds and stuff? How does the money managed at that point?
So the most popular investment choice is in age-based portfolio. So it's sort of like a no-brainer. You just say age-based, and when your kid is, you know, 0 to 5, it's a lot more aggressive and a lot more equities. And then when the child's a little older, it gets, you know, in a little more like cash, or not cash, but like bonds, that kind of thing. But, you know, you can go in and say, allocate 10% of my money to this, 10% to that, 30% to this. But, you know, most people aren't sophisticated investors and just say,
yeah, that sounds like a good way.
Yeah, aggressive age-based portfolio. I'm done.
And most of the people who manage these have that as an option.
Yes.
See, is there anybody? Because I only have 2 years. It like has a like a lottery-based investment deal where you like they buy you lottery tickets, and then maybe you like if you're lucky, you'll have enough for college. Maybe something like that.
I'm on the same plan for retirement.
Yeah, I'm on that one also. The lottery-based retirement.
So I have two kids. I have three kids. two of them are twins,
so that really is only two kids.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Do I need three 529s, or can I just do one?
You can do one, and you can allocate the money as you see fit. You can actually do one in your own name and, you know, transfer that money to, you know, whatever child you want, and then they can use it for higher education. So if you wanted to consolidate all the money into one account so you get a little better growth, you can do that.
Here was one reason I didn't save a lot of money. Is somebody told me, oh, well, that's just going to make it so you don't get any financial aid because you have this big savings account. And so they said, put it in your kid's name or something like that. There was some sort of thing that I was worried about in that regard. Is it better to put
right.
it in your kid's name?
Well, as you know, it'll always be you're the
something
account
you have.
Owner.
Yeah, something
yeah,
you have.
You're going to be the sponsor,
yeah,
and
yeah.
the child's going to be the beneficiary.
Right.
And 529s, they don't affect financial aid. They don't affect college loans.
Oh,
they don't affect any of that.
Oh, good.
I mean, it's just that's why it's like the no-brainer vehicle for college savings.
Yeah. Well, that's a no-brainer. That's me. Because apparently I didn't use that financial vehicle.
Well, it didn't really exist, you know, before 2001, yeah. and it was kind of useless before 2006 because there was a sunset clause on the tax benefits.
Oh, right.
And Congress made that permanent. And so the tax the free the no taxes were going to go away in 2011, and Congress made that permanent in 2006.
Oh, hallelujah. So really, it's not my fault. I'm
it's
off
not
the hook.
Your fault.
This didn't exist, and there was nothing I could do. Abby, I'm sorry. I tried. All right,
it really poorly, you know, marketed by the states and
No kidding.
You know, the program managers. It's not a big moneymaker for them, and you know, they don't. And you know, marketers who work for the state aren't the best marketers.
No kidding. Well, you've done a good job of letting people know. The Freshman Fund, it's freshmanfund.com, F-R-E-S-H-M-A-N. Because when I hear freshman, I spell it M-E-N, but it's freshman.
And how much does it cost? Fund. How much is this going to cost us?
It's free. It doesn't cost anything.
Wow. So you're just doing this for fun.
We do have some revenue sources.
Are you going to tell us what those are?
But you probably get referrals from, for 529s or something like that.
Exactly. We'll get referrals for signing up people for 529s, and then you can sign up people for other, complementary financial products like, hey, you just had a baby. Do you have life insurance? That kind
of
thing.
Right.
And we also have, we'll have a rebate credit card through Future Trust.
Oh, neat.
So 1% of every dollar you spend will go directly into your 529 plan. And we get paid on a per-head basis for that.
So you've learned from your dot-bomb experience in the past, always have a revenue generation scheme.
Money's good.
Money isn't such a bad thing, especially if you got to send somebody to college. Hey, I really thank you for your time. This looks like a really useful site, and it's a very simple one, but I think you're putting the word out, which is important, and we're glad we could help you do that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate
Thanks,
the opportunity.
Jeff. Great
Thanks,
to talk to
Jeff.
You.
Thank you.
That's Jeff Fries, and it's the Freshman Fund. It's freshmanfund.com.
But that doesn't mean it's just for men.
I would hope not. I think, don't they say that...
That girls are going to college these days, too?
More girls than guys. In fact, there's a little concern that in the years to come, there'll be far more women in college.
Huh.
Then there will be men in college.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that. I had heard that there are more. But there are more, aren't there more women in the world?
Well, there are more smarter women in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, that's true.
Far more. I think
yes.
it's, you know, 70-30, something like that.
All right.
We're also going to talk a little bit to Amanda, right?
Vanessa.
Vanessa, Amanda, you know,
We're going to do a little 10 minutes on teens with Vanessa later on in the show.
Oh, we thought we'd have some more content about teens because I have teens.
Yes,
and
you
so
do
it's
have
really
teens.
All about me.
But don't you feel a little bit better now talking to Jeff? There was nothing you could have done before 2001.
Yeah, I don't feel better now. I feel terrible. But, you know, the solution is going to be I'm just going to work my butt off for the next 10 years until the kids are out of college mm-hmm. and then collapse.
Right.
I have no other choice. That's
yeah.
what I've dug, the hole I've dug myself.
This is the Abby LaPorte Fund.
Right now, what you're watching.
Yes. Yes. Donate now.
But you're listening to, this is, no. Your donations do not go to my daughter. See, you know, people are going to think that your their donations go to my daughter's college fund. Mm-hmm.
Where they actually go to my children's college fund.
No, they're actually, all donations go to Run Twit. I take no money out of Twit at this point because it's not making any money. Not enough for me. But you get some money, mm-hmm. and the contributors do from advertising. But that comes from advertising. The donations, and we do appreciate them. We love them. Are what keep kind of the electricity going and mm-hmm. the rent. And
you know what else keeps the electricity going?
What else?
Audible.com.
We love Audible. Mm-hmm. Audible.com. If you are the kind of person that listens to podcasts, you're going to be the kind of person, I think, who likes Audible.com. You like listening. You like getting information through your ears. Audible is about, well, audio, mostly books, 50,000 titles, but also old-time radio shows, speeches, lectures, comedy. There's just a ton of audio content. Visit it. Take a look at it. Audible, AUDIBLE.com, and you're sure to find something you're going to want to listen to. And sometimes Audible has, by the way, great kids' books. And sometimes you recommend, Megan, a kid's book. Sometimes you recommend an adult book. Is mm-hmm. it going to be a kid's or adult book?
I'm recommending adult book today.
All right.
But it's written by a mother, and that's why I recommend it.
Oh, look at this. Yeah.
This is what I've been listening to this week. It's Boots on the Ground at Dusk, my tribute to Pat Tillman.
This is, his mom wrote this.
Yes, by Mary Tillman, and she reads it, too. And it's really good. Pat Tillman, of course, was the NFL football player who put down his helmet and went to fight in Afghanistan after 9/11, and then was, of course, shot down. At first, it was believed that he was shot down by enemy fire, but then it was uncovered that he was actually...
Friendly fire. So
and
they found that out for sure?
Yes. They found it out for sure, but Mary Tillman, his mother, writes this basically as a tribute to him, but also to kind of express that she doesn't feel like she was treated right. Still, even though they apologized, she still doesn't feel like the government treated her or her family.
By disguising what happened. Look, friendly fires are part of the war zone, mm-hmm. and American soldiers died of friendly mm-hmm. fire. But you'd have to tell the truth.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, Mary Tillman has come from a line of military men.
And obviously,
so she understands this.
They believe in service. Yeah.
But I think Pat Tillman was really used in some sense because he was this football player and they wanted, the war was not looking good. They sort of used him in propaganda.
So she feels not only lied to, but a little bit used.
Yes.
Oh, that's
and
sad.
So she went through all the research, and her Pat Tillman's brother was actually there in the same firefight. Was there at the, and they were in the same convoy.
Wow.
And she makes some really sad and interesting observations about why her son was shot. Just partly that it was confusing. It was sort of the fog of war. And also that there was a lot of soldiers that were just sort of hungry for any firefight.
Right.
And so it's a really good read. It's something that we should think about. And on Audible.
Boots on the Ground by Dusk, my tribute to Pat Tillman. Wow, that's the mother's tribute to her
and
son.
To swing himself with one solid tug onto an adjacent branch. He stands up with his arms raised and smiles down on me as if to say, life is great.
Oh, it's breaking my heart already.
It is sad.
Yeah, I mean, there's no greater love than a mother for her son, a parent for their child. And I can imagine. But to have her read it makes it even more powerful.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so audible.com Jumpy Monkeys if you want to download that for free. Audible.com /monkeys.
Yeah. That could be your free book. Audible has so many great books. Business, classics, education, fiction, history, young adults and little kids, romance, sci-fi and fantasy, self-development, many, many categories. Great books, 50,000 strong. They will change your life. And I think that's really this is the kind of book that will change your life, that it will make you think, that it will move you, will bring you to tears, it sounds like. I think I'm a little already.
Mm.
And that's the kind of stuff we're looking for. Or you can have, light, enjoyable reading, too. Mm-hmm. It's all there. Audible.com/monkeys. We thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys.
All right, now I have an interesting video. I got an email from someone saying, you don't do the YouTube video of the week anymore. And
people love those.
They did
love
them.
It's an audio podcast.
I know. That's why it was just hard. I was finding it hard. But she was saying she enjoyed showing them to her kids. So I'll look for some more of those. This one isn't one you'd show to your kids, but it is really interesting.
This is one you should see.
This is a TED Talk, Stephen Levitt of Freakonomics. He talks about, he gave this talk. It's about 20 minutes. Definitely worth listening to if you have a child. 8 or under a car seat age. Last week we talked about car seats and the importance and of car seats.
Who had preceded him, but building on the invention of the first one, came up with a second cure.
I love this guy.
And the beauty of the second cure for this disease was that it could be used on infants and 1-year-olds.
Now the neat thing about TED Talks that I really like is that they're short.
Yeah.
This one is about 20 minutes long.
Right.
That's kind of what TED is all about. This conference, mm-hmm. they bring the best minds in the world together, and they give them 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And they say, you know, change our lives in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So these TED Talks are amazing. It's at TED.com. But this one is on, are children's car seats necessary?
Right. And what he's saying is they're after the age 2, they're not.
They don't make a difference.
And he said that the reason people use them is, A, the government tells them they have to.
As we learned last week.
B, because they're expensive.
That's why they use them?
Right. Because in the beginning, you know...
Oh, you want to keep using it, is what
infants,
you're saying.
Infants were dying in car accidents.
You do need them for infants.
Right. And that they did save lives. What he says, right. According to his research, and I'm not
well,
saying
and
that
I should, I should underscore this. This guy is an economist.
Right.
Freakonomics is, let's use the tools of econometrics right. on real-life issues and see if we can learn something about them. And
right.
so he does statistical analysis.
Right. And he's done that. And he said that... You know, that people were using, you know, after the age of 2, kids could sit up and use the seatbelt.
And they worked.
And it was working.
Mm.
And then they came up with infant car seats, and that worked. So people basically said, well, I'm paying a lot of money for this infant car seat. And then when they're not infants anymore, you say, I just use this cheap thing.
No,
cheap,
I need
you know?
To spend
yeah,
more money to protect my
that's basically what they're saying.
Kids.
Like, it must not be the best solution because it's cheap.
Well, we should get our guest from last week on.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting because, I mean, definitely she knew her car seats and she had a lot of statistics, too. And statistics
right.
can prove all kinds of things. But remember when she said that, like, the government wants kids to wear it till they're 4'9"? And you said, like, Abby is probably 4'9"?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she
I know
drives.
Adults who are 4'9".
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do in that
so,
case.
So, I don't know. And, they, you know, what he says also is the government makes a lot of these rules because of... families who've pressured them into
right.
it because their children have died in car accidents.
Well, I'll also say one thing about... I've learned this about public safety decisions, public safety pronouncements. They're trying to do the greater good.
Right.
And so what it may be, in fact, that it doesn't make a big difference in 90% of the cases, but they're trying to say, well, but for these 10%, it does make a difference, and we want you to use them.
Right.
The 10%... You know, 90% sacrifice for the good of the 10%. A good example is salt. Not everybody is salt sensitive.
Right.
But they say don't use salt because enough people are salt sensitive that it's a dangerous thing.
Oh, I didn't know. You mean like some people who are not salt sensitive could eat as much salt as they wanted and nothing would ever happen? But you don't know if you're one of those people or not?
That's pretty much it, yeah. High blood pressure and salt are connected, but not for everybody. They think it's genetic.
Right.
So rather than say, well, if you have a genetic predisposition towards high blood pressure... reduce your sodium intake, which is probably what they should say.
Mm-hmm.
They say, just stay away from salt.
Right.
Because that's the better advisement.
Yeah.
It's the really safer advisement.
Like
I think that happens all the time in public safety.
The car seat thing is interesting because, you know, if you have a kid who's 9 years old, they're just out of car seats, and you've calculated in their, like, 8 years of life, you've spent, what, like, $2,000 on car seats or something.
Right.
You don't want to be told that...
Doesn't make a difference.
But really, if you never got in an accident, it didn't make a difference anyway, right?
Right. It's insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, think of all the money you spend on insurance that you never use.
Exactly.
One hopes, knock on wood, you never use.
Yeah. So.
You know, I don't mind buying insurance if I never use it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
my
key.
Exactly. Okay.
Before we get to we have a lot of calls, a lot of questions, mm-hmm. and a lot of viewer feedback. Before we do that, listener feedback, before we do that, should we talk to Vanessa?
We should.
Vanessa Van Petten.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to her before. She mm-hmm. is a young lady
mm-hmm.
Who is, when she was a teenager, did a study of teen mm-hmm. behavior and ever since has become kind of an expert on teens from the point of view of somebody who is recently a teenager.
Right.
Which is great.
Yeah, and she's a consultant and she has a book, I'm Grounded, or You're Grounded. Welcome back, Vanessa.
Hello.
Hi, Vanessa. We're early. Is it okay if we're early?
Of course it's okay.
You forgive us?
I forgive you.
All right.
Can you send us some video?
Sure, if you want to. I don't look so great, but we can definitely do video.
I saw your lip syncing video. I know Uh-oh. How you look. That was really funny.
Oh, God. Yeah, I have... See, it's bad when I'm bored because I do things like that.
Yeah.
It's never a good idea. I mean, yeah. my readers like it, but and then I look back and I'm like, why did I do that?
It's like getting a tattoo or something. It's one of those things that will follow you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I'm hitting video now. Hopefully it'll work. Oh, I like your picture.
Yeah, there we go. There's Vanessa. Great shot. That's great. So, in fact, that looks just like the video. You have a hairbrush you could do with a little lip syncing for us?
I know. I didn't even use a hairbrush in the actual video.
You didn't need
like
one.
My really big headset. Don't yeah. I really high tech?
It's very
like
cool.
Like a little telemarketer. So what's up? What are you guys talking about?
Well, we're talking about teenagers.
Yeah, you were going to discuss your article that you wrote about teacup parenting.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I kind of got a lot of heat for this article. I mean, good and bad.
Teacup parenting. Wow.
Teacup parenting.
What is that?
I've noticed, especially when I went to college, that a lot of my friends were either they were totally burnt out and they didn't want to go to school, they didn't want to talk about grades, or they were so fragile that the second anything went wrong, they would have a complete breakdown. And so now I have all my friends are kind of entering the workforce and they're not quite sure what to do. Parents are calling HR and getting jobs for them. And I mean, like, they really are having trouble managing on their own. And I think it's because of this teacup parenting where I basically compare the way you would treat a teacup. You know, you're really delicate with it. You only give it the highest quality tea. It's supposed to reflect, the rest of the set. It has to fit in with the rest of the family.
Yeah.
And, you know, it reflects your taste. A lot of parents really want their kids to reflect their taste and want to be just like them. And then they put it on display, you know. And so what happens is you have these kids who are really delicate. And I say to a lot of parents, you know, it's not supposed to be like a cruise ship. Your kids are supposed to feel some wave.
Good, because that's all I'm giving my kids at all at this point. Is they're all they're getting from me is waves, I tell you.
I just think it's interesting because it really raises a different kind of generation. I don't know if you've seen any kids like this, but...
Well, you know, my wife and I call this child-centric parenting, and you do this and I do this. Our parents weren't so focused on us. Maybe yours were, but my parents weren't so focused on the kids. Mm-hmm. They had their life, and the kids were part of it. Yeah. But not the focus of it. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you mean, Vanessa?
Yeah, it's sort of like the helicopter parenting. I know that that's sort of a like
that's another
buzzword.
One. Yeah,
yeah, it's a buzzword. It's a little bit different in that helicopter parenting. It's like everything's child centric. Everything is about the kid. But the teacup is like we have to make sure everything is perfect. You know, you have parents calling up schools and making sure that the windows in the classroom face the east, not the west,
because
the sun won't come in and their kids will get the UV rays. I mean, like, they're so worried, and I really think that's what it comes down to is this worry factor.
So what you're saying is kids are precious that come out of this kind of environment. They're very precious.
Very precious. And kids should be precious by all means, but the problem is when they get to real life, when they get to college, they actually do break down. I mean, I was in the salad bar line at school, and I'm waiting, and this girl is taking forever in front of me. And she finally gets to the dressings, and she's like, you could tell she's really anxious. And she picks up her phone in the salad bar line, calls her mom, and she's like, Mom, do I like French dressing or Italian dressing?
Oh,
I'm serious. I was like, is this girl for real right now? And like, I was not in the best mood at the time. I just wanted to get in and get out. But it was so sad. I thought about it later, and I was like, my gosh, this poor girl doesn't even know what she likes.
Yeah. Plus, French dressing is gross.
Lest we forget the most important part.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's sad, but I think that's what's happening. And, I think that also they don't want to know, a lot of parents, we talked a little bit about this last time we talked, that, it's not whether or not your kids are going to see pot, it's what they're going to do when they actually encounter it.
Because they are going to.
Right, and I wrote this post, oh my God, I got so many comments on it, about teaching your teen how to drink, and it sort of...
Whoa!
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Now I got a 16-year-old, are you saying I should teach Abby how to drink?
No, I'm not saying that, and I think that you should definitely teach your kids to say no, but let's be real, okay? And I'm all about being honest. You know, your kids are going to start drinking eventually, and it's sometimes going to be easier. I don't like to drink. It makes me really sleepy. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a good drunk at all, so I try not to drink. And so but sometimes you go to parties and it's really hard because they just want you to, why do you want to drink? I don't understand. What's going on? And so it's easier to just say yes. And so I basically give all these tips for losing your drink, spilling it in a plant, taking a fake shot, spitting it back into a water bottle.
That's great advice. I know a parent who says you can take a drink, just don't drink from it, walk around with it, you have a drink, you don't have to drink from it.
Yeah, this is exactly what I said, but I gave like a lot of tips on, you know, I mean, I would literally take a half empty Coke bottle in my purse, and when people would be like, yeah, Cuervo, so like I would say that, I would go, great, Cuervo, and then everyone would take the shot, and I would put it in my mouth and hold it in my mouth, and then I'd take the chaser bottle, which wasn't really a chaser, and I'd spit it back into the bottle.
Wow. So that's clever.
I know that.
You have to do things like that, I think. And, you know, it's funny because I said Abby, 16, but everybody's drinking. Everybody in her school is drinking. It is everywhere. She says, Dad, you know, she doesn't drink. She says, Dad, everybody drinks. It's what people do in high school. And, yeah, it's illegal, but they're doing it. And so it is probably sensible. Same thing as, you know, you ought to talk to them about contraception. You don't, not to encourage them to have sex or to drink, but just so that they have some tools to deal with it.
And I agree with you, Leo, but I think that a lot of people, it's the same contraceptive argument. They're like, well, I don't want to encourage it. Well, I totally understand that. And you should definitely be encouraging your kids to say no. But everyone, you know, it's so out there and it's so rampant that they have to be able to, especially for girls, and I say this when I meet with groups of girls and I mentor them, I'll say, look, if you're uncomfortable at a party and there are guys there and you think, you know, you want to have a little bit more control than they think you do, or you just want to make sure that you're a little bit more control, leave the drink in the bathroom. Spill the drink in the plant. I show them how to be really animated and the drink sloshes all over the place. I mean, you know what I mean? But, like, they need to know that because a lot of them just have no idea. They go, oh, I guess, yeah, I do lose some control. And then it opens up the doorway for your kids to talk about what happens if you do lose control.
Right. Yeah, this is actually a hard thing to deal with as a parent. And I think this is where you're talking about teacup parenting, because as a teacup parent, I don't want to think about this, but in fact, it's life, and you need to, as a parent, that's part of what you're teaching your kids about, and teaching them strategies to deal with what they're inevitably going to face.
And that's, it all comes back around to that parents are like, I don't want them to know, I don't want them to feel a wave, I don't want them to have anyone pressure them at all, but the truth is they are going to be pressured, and, you know, these girls are on Club Penguin, which is like this social networking site. They're 10 years old, and they're talking to me, and they say, oh, there's this guy, and he followed me around, and he was asking for my zip code, and I knew I shouldn't do it. And I said, have you ever talked to your parents? And they go, oh, my parents don't think that I have to deal with this. And I'm like, oh, you know, if only their parents had known that they are dealing with it, and then they should talk to them about it, because otherwise they're just going to learn it on their own.
Yeah. On Club Penguin, you said?
That's the Disney thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. They're talking about for their zip code? Creepy.
Other kids, it's creepy. I know. It's so creepy. And thank goodness this girl was like, it felt creepy. And I said, that intuition, that feeling is the most important feeling in the world.
Trust my wife's always saying that to my daughter, is you've got to learn to listen to your intuition. If your body and your mind are saying, I don't want to walk down that dark alley, listen to it. That's a dangerous place to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I think that parents don't talk about it enough because they're afraid, oh, I don't want to freak them out.
Right.
And this other thing that happens with teacup parenting is this interviewing for pain. Have you heard this before? You know, and I've watched parents do it. And then afterwards, I'm like, you know, do you realize what you're doing? It's like this. It goes like this. The kid gets in the car. She goes, so how was school? Did the teacher, you know, not call on you? how was lunch? Did those girls leave you out again?
Were they mean?
And how's your stomach? Is it hurt worse than earlier today?
Oh, man.
Have you heard them do it? Kind of. Yeah. And I don't even think they realize they're doing it. It's like, what's wrong with you? And so these kids become really nuanced. They think about everything they're uncomfortable with. Everything they're comfortable with.
Right.
And so when they get to later on, they're like, oh, I'm a little bit uncomfortable. Or this is bad, instead of focusing on the good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think you hit the nail on the head. It's teacup parenting. I love the, you came up with a good way to describe it.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Vanessa. So you can read her article at onteenstoday.com. And your website's also vanessavanpetten.com.
Everything's onteenstoday.com. I switched it over for easy.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Thank you so much.
We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Great to talk to you, Vanessa. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. She's great. I really like talking to her. You know, it's neat. It's because it's somebody who's close to my kids' age. So in a way, it's almost as if your kids are talking to you.
Right.
And telling you, hey, this is what I wish you would do.
Yeah. I mean, no one could really get away with telling the whole spill the drink story. Like, no one over 25 could get away with, like, telling that, you know.
Right,
but it's good. Good advice.
Well, and that's the other thing. And that's why they always say that aunties are the most important thing. You know, your aunt, your aunt. Because it's somebody, not your parent, who could tell you stuff like that. It's hard for a parent to tell you stuff like that.
Exactly. Yeah, it is.
Very good.
All right. So now we're on to the listener feedback.
Yeah.
You want to start with an email?
You go ahead. Okay. I have like 800 voicemails in our Grand Central box. People are really taking this seriously.
Start coming early.
Yeah, we can just play through all of them.
Okay. Teresa in Bentonville, Arkansas writes, I'm having a hard time deciding what to use as a journaling memory-keeping method for my children, as well as a calendar for my everyday use. I'm 35 years old and computer savvy, but I also love old-fashioned paper.
Yeah, me too. You know, for things like that, paper's great.
Right. She said there are so many digital options. If I decide to go that route, I don't know what to use. Do I use Cozy, which is COZI.com? We've talked about that. That's a place where you can have the family calendar and keep a journal. Or just stick with my iCal on my Mac and do the journaling separate. I also love a paper calendar, but it seems like I'm just wasting time keeping track of the same things on two different pages.
You know, I think paper is, you know, like a Moleskine, those notebooks. I think paper, but Jennifer would always give the kids journals, and the paper stuff that we have is so precious now. Mm-hmm. And a digital, for one thing, digital is easy to lose. I know you feel like it's safer, but it isn't in some ways. And it doesn't have that same... Yeah, it's funny, I would be saying this, but it doesn't have that same personal touch to it. I like paper. Scrapbooking, journaling, I think those belong on paper.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I've done blogs so far with my kids just because it's so much easier. And I just have, you know, I've had a blog before I was a mom, so it just seemed natural that I should start posting pictures of my kids and writing about them. But it's interesting because I think a lot of people, as more and more of my friends have blogs with families and kids, I think... they're not really, they don't, I don't necessarily see them thinking about anybody looking at them, you know? And
so that's maybe it. Maybe it's just the process. So it doesn't matter what you're putting it on, right? It's the process of putting it down.
Right.
I just feel like blogs are ephemera. That 10 years from now, are they going to exist?
Right.
Are they going to still be here?
No, I don't, and not if you don't print them out.
Right.
And so it's interesting.
There's a lot of, when we've talked about, you know, Cozy's one, Vox is another great blogging platform, TypePad, Tumblr is very cool. There's a new one that I like. We talked about this on Net at Night this week called Posterous, PosterOus.com. You can set up a free blog, but here's the fun thing. It's all email. So instead of going and using a blogging platform, and your kids might find this a little easier too if they're a little older, not your kids, but maybe 7 or 8, they send an email to their blog. And if they put a picture in it, it shows up on the blog. If they put audio in it, it shows up in the blog. So they could even record something as an MP3, email it to their blog, and then it becomes part of their blog. And then others can read it as a regular blog.
Right.
That's kind of a neat... Because then you're using tools that are maybe more familiar to the kid, the email, right?
Yeah, you could forward all the emails you get from other people and put them up.
You could totally do that. Grandma's email, all that stuff, forward it along.
Yeah.
Posterous, PosterOus.com. Isn't that an interesting idea? Yeah. I thought it was a more natural way to get content up.
Yeah.
Because people are used to kind of the idea of email, you know? And a lot of content does come to you. An email. That's actually a great idea to use it as a scrapbook of emails you've received from other people. That'd be kind of fun. Forward them along.
Right. All right.
Okay. Oh, you want to hear a recording?
I want to hear a call.
I can tell you're looking at me with that strange look.
We're just,
it must be
looking at each other, now, waiting for who's going to go next.
This is from +31. I don't know. That's somewhere far, far away, I think.
Hi, Leo, Megan. This is Ken from the Netherlands. I've called in before about the preschool and group ages before, and it's good to see that you continue to use American terms and not use the ages. However,
in other words, we learned nothing, is what he said.
On the for your users who use Linux at home, I have some 3 kids under 4, and they all love Child's Play. It's got flashcards on it, and it's got some other games for. It's especially good for young children. So, small tip. Love the show, love the podcast, And if you've got any tips in the future on how to get children to eat, I would desperately love to hear it. Okay, keep up the good work, and talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for the call. And I do apologize. I think we forgot that we have international listeners. We shouldn't just say preschool or grade school or high school.
Know.
I've used all of those.
Probably.
I'll try to start using ages.
In the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. How about eating? Do you your kids have any trouble eating? In other words, do you have trouble getting them to eat the good stuff? For Henry, will only eat junk food. If he would eat an In-N-Out burger every day, if I'd let him.
Well, so would I, but I think, no, that is not, you know, we've had biting problems.
Yeah.
We've had hitting problems.
No eating.
No, eating seems to be something we haven't really had to deal with. I mean, sometimes they're picky, but I think it's just normal pickiness. And I don't know. I mean, and, you know, the advice that people hate to hear is that, like, just give them healthy foods, and if they don't eat it, they'll eventually eat it because they're hungry. But I know really picky eaters, that's not true.
Yeah.
Like, people, you know, parents of really picky eaters don't want to hear it because it's a huge problem. And if you have your kids waking up in the middle of the night because they're hungry,
right,
like, that's not solving any.
Oh, Henry will do that. We'll make dinner. He doesn't like, Jennifer makes healthy food.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't like that. So he won't eat the dinner. And then about 9 or 10 at night, just before bed, he's famished.
Yeah.
And he comes down and he orders a pizza or, you know, raids the refrigerator and finds salami or something. And
yeah.
Especially now, these are teenagers. I think it's a little harder when you get to be 13 or 14 to tell kids what to eat.
Yeah.
As little kids, we never had that problem. You know what we did when they were really young, and I thought this was actually worked really well. We had a baby mill. Do you have one? You know what those are?
Yeah, you would like the food mill.
It's a food mill,
yeah.
And then you could put anything that you're eating as a family
in there,
and you smoosh it. It turns it into baby food,
uh-huh.
And so they were eating, you know, broccoli and kale and kohlrabi and whatever we were eating, mushed up so that they could eat it. You know, at 5 months, and 6 months, and 7 months. So I think they might have gotten used to a broader variety of food from that. I thought that worked really well, and that was a good way to start. Plus, it's a lot less expensive than buying Gerber for 6 or 7 months.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Beth writes, I've listened to your podcast for a while and finally feel like I need to put my 2 cents in about public education. I think she's responding to our episode 2 weeks ago on homeschooling. My parents were public school teachers for the past 20 years, and they taught fourth grade for the last 10 years or so. They test all students, but really look at certain grades for the No Child Left Behind, and fourth grade is one of them.
Yeah.
My parents were known in their school for taking the kids who were well below grade level on the third grade test and getting them to grade level above by the fourth grade. When word got out about them retiring, the principal took them aside and told them she wanted them to mentor the other fourth grade teachers so that their legacy wasn't gone when they retire. They may have been teaching to the test in the past few years, but when they are teaching... what they're testing are things that fourth graders should know, and so it did hold them accountable. I wish that all grades were held accountable because what my parents had to do was pick up the slack for the third grade teachers that just played school. I guess holding teachers accountable, however it might be, is better than just letting them do whatever they want. She has one more issue. The homework issue has caught my attention. My son is going into first grade, and last year he had about 15 minutes of homework at night.
Wow.
I thought it was great because it let me know what they were doing and learning throughout the year.
Yeah, and that's not much.
Mm-hmm. His teacher also explained their job for the next 13 years of school, and she was teaching them to take school and homework seriously.
I guess, you know, maybe 15 minutes isn't so bad.
I wouldn't mind 15 minutes because, again, like that's one thing we haven't brought up. Like, it gets you involved. I mean, we've talked about parents being more involved, and the problem is sometimes you don't have time. But 15 minutes just to get to know what your kid is doing in school.
That's not so bad.
Because everybody knows you can't ask them. They won't ever tell you what they did at school.
Henry asked me today, he said, do you have homework in college? I said, yeah, you have a lot of homework in college. You have more homework in college than you have in high school, and you have more homework in high school than you do right now in junior high school. He said, oh. Oh. So I think he's looking for a college, and if anybody's got a suggestion that doesn't have homework.
Oh, a college without homework.
A college without homework. I think my son would like to go to your school. And if it's less than a few thousand dollars a year, I'd be very happy about it. I would
free,
be very happy.
Even better.
Free would be great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a lot of email from guys that, yeah, I have a free college. No homework at all. He just has to help me work in the fields. Look, I support public education. I really do. And I think it's a very important part of our country. In fact, every civilized country, the more education that they offer for free as public education, you know, you look at a country like Sweden where free college educations even, those countries do better. Their citizens are happier. Their level of standard of living is higher. I just think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
And I'm all in favor of it. But what I do hate to see is such a focus on metrics that you start to lose any creativity. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes teaching to the test is not what you want. Right. We have a big debate going on in California right now. You know, they just decided that 8th graders have to learn Algebra 1.
Oh, really? They have to.
That it's going to be a requirement for 8th graders. And in fact, the elected head of schools in California said this is a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. We're going to set our kids up to fail. Many kids are not ready for this. Making this a requirement, essentially a requirement that will be tested for, he said, is a terrible idea, but this is what I've been told to do, so this is what we'll be doing, but I don't like it. I think
that's
it's an awful idea.
I hadn't heard that.
So let me ask you, if a train leaves Chicago going 53 miles an hour, you see, you don't want to
11.
Do that. It's always the right answer. You want to hear another call? Our Grand Central Station inbox. We have a number, 707-981-4602. You can call that. It's not toll-free. But, you know, it's not going to be very expensive. Leave a message. Or you could press the button on Megan's site if you're not using Firefox. Mm-hmm. We'll fix that.
Yeah.
There's some
will.
Obvious.
In the Jumpy Monkeys labs.
The labs are working on it even as we speak. We'll solve that problem.
Hi, Megan and Leo. This is Deanne from San Bernardino, California. And I have a suggestion and a question. The suggestion is an awesome website. It's called starfall.com. And I don't know if you mentioned it before, but it was designed by a guy who struggled with reading. It's super fun. It goes from letter sounds all the way to second grade reading material. I'm a teacher, and I use it for my second grade students, and they love it. They have easy graphics, and it's great for navigation. I really like that after a game or after a story, you can print out a coloring page, but it has extended questions that really enhances the learning. My question is about teens and texting. I have a stepdaughter who's about 6 months younger than Abby, and I call her a Borg because she's constantly connected to her hive of friends.
Yep.
And when I ask her who she's talking to, she says,
nobody.
Everyone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
When she shuts down for an hour or two to go to church or do yard work, she must tell everyone or else she'll get texts asking, where mm-hmm. are you? Are you mm-hmm. okay? Are mm-hmm. you mad at me? Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if this is common with teenagers today or if I'm right and she is a Borg. She says, I'm the geek because she doesn't know what a Borg is, and I'm constantly connected to my podcast, so she calls me a Borg.
Yeah.
So I guess we're even. I would love if you would comment on that and have more episodes about teens and technology and about driving, because that's also coming up.
Baby.
This wasn't too long, and thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you for the great call. Yeah.
We have talked about Starfall, and it's a great site.
That's a great site for reading. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, your teenager is completely normal. That's, it's exactly what teenagers do, and it's mm-hmm. a very interesting change. They don't do email anymore.
Mm-hmm.
My kid, Abby, the 16-year-old, did IM when she was 13. That was the big thing. She stopped doing that now. Henry is almost all text. And it is interesting because we'll say, okay, Henry, you got to go to bed. He said, well, I have to say goodbye. And it takes him 20 minutes to say goodbye to everybody. I think it's completely normal. It's part of their culture now. They are in constant touch. And in some ways, I really like it. I mean, there's a little culture. There's a society going on
mm-hmm.
there. I mean, I don't think it's so bad. You haven't faced this yet, obviously.
No. I mean, I've just started texting. And there are some advantages of it over email and phone. I never know if like my friends have free texting
right.
or not. So it's kind of
also
a weird,
addictive.
Like,
and I think that's what she's seeing. And that's what I see is that you get kind of addicted to this idea that you have to constantly, be on with your friends.
Right.
It's Twitter's like that
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's, it's something probably to watch, but I don't know if there's anything you could do about it because mm-hmm. you don't want your kids to be pariahs. You want them to fit in with the culture of their school and of their classmates.
Yeah.
And it's how they communicate. Henry spends a lot of time on MySpace, but essentially all they're doing is messaging each
right.
other back and forth.
But you have limits.
Well, they got to take a shower and they got to go to bed and they got to get up in the morning and they have to do their homework.
Yeah.
But remember, I tell my wife this all the time. You were on the phone all the time when you were a teenager.
Right.
They're not on the phone all the time. They're texting all the time. Now, there are limits. It's rude. It's rude if you're doing it at the table. We won't let them do it at dinner and things like that.
Yeah, Marco says he called me on texting and emailing in the car with him. Because he's like, normally you would be talking to me.
Yeah.
Now you have this phone that you can email.
That's where the rudeness comes in, is because it's somebody else is intruding.
Yeah.
But Jennifer's on the phone all the time. She'll talk on the cell phone when I'm in the car, and it bothers me, too.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that, you know, that she pointed out that, like, her daughter says the same thing about her. Like,
you're a geek too, Mom.
I mean, it's like, you know, can you imagine disconnecting from email for a week? I mean, could you do that?
What? No way. I mean, I'm emailing right now.
Right.
You can, no.
I know. So it's like, I don't know. We have to look at ourselves, too.
It's part of the world they live in, and I think, in a way, it's a good thing. I mean, you need them to be part of this. You don't want them to not be comfortable with technology.
Right. Exactly.
That's part of what they've got. Well, it's great to get all your emails and calls. And don't forget, we have that Grand Central number. If it's easier for you to call, go to 707-981-4602. Or you can email Megan
at twit.tv.
And if you want to send audio, you could do that also, right?
You can watch us at twitlive.tv.
We do the show every Thursday at 1:30 Pacific. That's 4:30 Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are somewhere else in the world, I like to give out the UTC time. Which in this case is 2030 UTC. People all over the world. Thank you, Megan Maroney.
Thanks,
it's good to see you. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time
on Jumping Monkey.
You bet.